Let me assure you that next year I will look at the ratings before I assign David the sermon that he will preach. The week that he will preach. Because this week, for me at least, was the reading from the gospel was infinitely more difficult to wrap my mind around than last week's gospel. Because when we enter the gospel reading for today, it's like walking into the middle of a conversation. Because when we come upon this exchange between Jesus and his disciples, we notice that the disciples seem concerned, perhaps even flabbergasted. As we come around the corner into the conversation, we hear the apostles exclaim to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Then Jesus responds, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Do the disciples look deflated at this moment or merely perplexed? Do Jesus' words sting their fragile egos? Are they so entangled by his literal words that they're left scratching their heads about mulberry trees suddenly being uprooted and planting themselves in the sea? Luke's friends Matthew and Mark take this parable to an even grander level and have Jesus telling the disciples that their faith can move a mountain. And at this moment, we may find ourselves sympathizing with the apostles who want so desperately to be able to live up to Jesus' standards and find his parables and metaphors to be overwhelming. We may remember and sympathize with the father of the child that was tormented by a demon that threw the child into the fire and into the water. The father came to Jesus asking for his help, conditioning his request with the words, "If you are able." And Jesus responds to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." And we're told by Mark that the father immediately cried out, "I believe, help me in my unbelief." And the apostles said, "Increase our faith." And we say, "Me too." We want to pull on Jesus' hem and lower ourselves on a mat or run after him begging, "Help me, Jesus, I need your help. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be a faithful follower, a good Christian. But I'm not always sure what you would have me do. I don't always know what is right. And sometimes my faith seems weak, even anemic." And if this were the gospel according to Lee, this would be the time I might add in these words of Jesus, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I love those words of assurance. But this is not the gospel according to Lee. And although Jesus did say those very words, Luke has already shared those words of assurance with us 5 chapters earlier. And now it's time for us to move out of our comfort zone, stretch out of our cozy beds, and step into the world with our faith the size of a mustard seed, more or less, and live into the calling of being the people of God. That would be much less difficult this week if Jesus had not added to the faith of the mustard seed and the moving of the mulberry tree the parable about how one would deal with a slave under one's charge. Jesus says, "Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'?" No one is the understood response. It's not the place of the slave to sit at the table of the householder. No one would do that. It's not done. Not good form. Entirely wrong. Slaves do not share the dinner table with their masters. Jesus continues, giving voice to what we have all known and understood from the beginning. "Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later, you may eat and drink.' Well, yes, That's exactly what it's expected. That's the done thing. The servant serves. Thankfully, we're finally on the same page as Jesus. But that same page only lasts a moment. Jesus continues. Sometimes we wish he would just stop when there was a good opportunity, but he never does. He continues, "Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded?" "Well, no," we answer. "It's the slave's job. Why should we thank a slave for doing his job? Isn't that what he's being paid for? Isn't his pay, room and board, enough thankfulness? He's a slave, after all. She works at McDonald's, cleans the house, takes care of the yard. Right. There's no need for commendation for the duties required of one's position." And Jesus affirms that to the hilt. He says, "So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" And now, once again, the shoe is on the other foot, and we are once again squirming and Jesus, wishing that Jesus was much more like the writers of fairy tales and Nike ads, who had us all deserve all sorts of perks and all live happily ever after, rather than making us eat humble pie so often. And while the latter part of this gospel story surely reminds us of the parable of the workers who showed up first thing in the morning, and the ones who showed up at 4 in the afternoon and all received the same pay, and while we acknowledge that both of these parables make us really uncomfortable, if we move beyond our initial discomfort and our initial worldly response of wanting everything to be fair, what we discover is grace. A huge amount of grace. And that is very good news indeed. Even in our fear and uncertainty, even with our faith the size of a mustard seed, even though we would expect more of others than we would expect of ourselves, God gives us grace and includes us, and we are his own. There may not have been a time in our lives that we have literally moved a mountain, or even uprooted a mulberry tree by the sheer will of our faith. But there might have been times when we have experienced the movement of those things that have seemed insurmountable, the shifting of tides that we never expected to see move. Even in the times of our deepest insecurity and even in the times of our highest arrogance, we are not left to our own devices. We have been given grace upon grace, so that we're not accounted as slaves, but as those who are welcome to the table. Lord, increase our faith and our trust and our love of you and ourselves and our neighbors, so that we can live as your people and spread your grace throughout our world. Amen.